first guest. And you should mark this in his diary that he was the first guest here. Dan King. Welcome, Dan King.
Thanks for having me.
So thanks for coming along. I really appreciate you your willingness to come down and talk to us about your latest project and about how you got into music to begin with. So let's start with a little bit of history. Tell us about your musical origins.
Well, it was family-orientated, I think, in the beginning. There was guitars lying around the house when I was young, and I was the one who kind of, I guess, found them and started hammering on them as early as possible. Then I found the amplifiers, and actually we met way back then, and we used to go up in my attic right on the Eastern Ave and just start messing around with stuff. And then I got really into Jimi Hendrix, I think, around like sixth grade or something like that. And that's when I really decided I wanted to play, and I started figuring out the songs. And it just kind of grew from there, you know, and that was it, yeah.
This I got to jump in, Greg.
Right in.
You need to if you can boost your mic volume a little bit. Dan, you know, you mentioned Jimi Hendrix. Just wondering, back at Gloucester High School, if you knew Mr. Dahlgren, Eric Dahlgren.
Yes, I did.
As a musician, did you guys ever talk music?
Oh, all the time. I took his class, poetry and music.
Okay, because he.
I did too.
Okay, he told me that he used to be a sessions player in Detroit, and he actually jammed with Hendrix from time to time.
Right.
That's incredible.
Yeah, I remember hearing those stories. I think the famous one he told me about was didn't he play guitar with a strawberry alarm clock?
Incense, right? Peppermint, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, and he played some from Seeger stuff.
Yeah.
So let me jump in here, guys. This is MSO New Sports. I'm Rick Moore. Our producer and engineer, Bill Proposky. Greg Verga is your host. And Dan King, the world-famous Dan King from Gloucester High School and Points Beyond, is our first musical guest. And this is exciting. So I want to, Greg, this was your idea. How'd you come up with this thing? And we're in the unfinished music. Where'd that come from?
Well, the name Unfinished Music is because we're in my unfinished basement. So that's where the name comes from. But I sat with you basically every other week while I was on the city council and school committee to talk about
politics. Oh, I remember
that.
Yeah.
And after being out for 5 or 6 months, I really have no interest in talking about that. So you said we needed another show, and this is what popped into my head as a musical show that could bring the diverse talent that we have in Gloucester, bring them in here live, play some of their recorded stuff, and just talk about music and upcoming projects.
Well, I've seen Dan play back in high school. As most people know, I was at the high school for something years,
yeah.
And still there in one capacity or another. But I haven't seen Greg play except on YouTube. Now, this is so exciting to me because we got musicians in here. We got intelligent guys, a lot of experience. And I have so many. I got a billion questions. I want to get back to Dan, and we'll get to Greg, and then you can do what, you know, take over. We got a lot of music to play.
Yeah.
You're going to play live for us in studio.
Oh yeah.
We've got some MP3s that you've recorded. We'll get into that as well. I'll ask both of you guys this, but we'll start with you, Dan. Tell me a little bit about your biography. I almost said biology because my daughter's into AP. But anyway, biography. Let's go to your
family history.
High school. Yeah, family history, high school, college, and so on.
My parents. My father was from Lanesville, and my mom's from Rockport. They were pen pals, and my father was in the Navy, and that's how they met. And they.
No, wait, pen pals from Lanesville and Rockport? Is that what you said?
Yeah, exactly.
Because I know you need a passport to get from Gloucester to Rockport. But
that's a funny story. My father was in the Navy, and he knew some people from Rockport, and he was actually in Iceland, I believe, at the time.
I see.
And a friend of his he knew from Cape Ann said, you should write this woman back in Cape Ann. So he did this. So they became pen pals, even though they'd never met, even though they only lived, you know, one town over.
All right. So take us through... Your high school graduation, college, and maybe a little bit about your professional life.
Yeah. Well, let's see. Everybody knows, you know, I played a lot of football, played a lot of sports, and I did pretty well in academics and all that kind of stuff. But I always played guitar, too. That was the kind of thing I always did at home. And I remember being on the bus to, like, football games and things like that, and I'd be reading Musician Magazine. You know, that was just where my head was at all the time. And so I graduated high school, and I got accepted to Harvard. And so I tried that out for a bit, tried football. But then I had a big old operation on my arm. My shoulder was pretty messed up from all the years of football. Mm-hmm. And a kind trainer kind of gave me the hint that, like, I was kind of damaged goods and that maybe football probably wasn't going to work out for me in the professional level or anything like that. And then and the same thing at Harvard. I just didn't really feel, you know, I felt like, well, this is an opportunity for me to kind of really pursue what I've always really wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so I left Harvard and I started pursuing music.
And now, did you go back to school after Harvard? Dan?
I did. Yeah, my parents were probably a little bit, you know, like, well, you just got into Harvard. Now you want to pursue this crazy music thing, you know, as any parent would. Mm-hmm. So what I did is I ended up out at Western Mass, at UMass. I applied out there. And which I love because...
Hey, that's no come down. Come on, I went to UMass.
Exactly.
Hello.
Not a come down at all. I mean, I love it out there. I still go visit out there. It was a lot more affordable. There was a lot more things I could do. I mean, living in Harvard Square is great if you have a lot of money, but not really so much if you don't. You know, there's so many things that are right at your fingertips that you can't don't have access to.
Mm.
You know, whereas UMass, there was a free bus system. There was a show that was in Boston that was $30 would be $5 at UMass. That kind of thing.
You know, I got to tell you, Dan, the culture at Harvard, to me, is very foreign to me. And I know some people, you know, and the lawyers and so on, and they're very great. You know, Harvard's a fantastic school. We got the greatest schools in the country right here in Massachusetts. But I did a clam bake one time. My summer job as a teacher was to work as a clam bake caterer with Tony Marino, Phil Dimitri, and a bunch of other guys.
Yeah.
And we did a clam bake one time for the graduate English department at Harvard University. So the Harvard graduate professors and instructors were at this clam bake. Well, they got ties on, you know, and they've got dresses, the women do, and they're all 150 years old. And we do split the lobsters for people, but we don't shuck the clams for them.
Right.
And they would come through the line and ask, may I have 6 clams, please? Oh, would you peel them for me, please? And say, this is a clam bake, lady. So that culture was so foreign to me, and but UMass offers so much diversity. Now, did you get into playing more out there while you were out there?
Yes, immediately I started playing. I mean, to say one thing about Harvard, I mean, Harvard was very diverse when I was there. I mean, it was really funny that you had that stereotype you talk about was definitely like something that I was confronted with.
Uh-huh.
You know, it was an interesting time. I met Biff and Muffy. You know what I mean? That's what I would. describe what you kind of just described.
That's what I'm talking about.
I met them, and they belong to this club. And okay, yes, I just met them. Every movie I've seen with Rodney Dangerfield.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
There you go.
Here we are.
Uh-huh.
But then there were plenty of regular Joes.
Sure,
people
sure,
who were just hard workers and wanted to pursue a certain thing. You know, but where were we at?
So you're just talking about going, your background, you got up to UMass.
Oh, UMass, playing there, that was a breath of fresh air. I immediately met lots of great players. Mm-hmm. There was an incredible music scene going out at the time. Remember the grunge era?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the beginnings of that started in the late 80s. And all those bands, you know, didn't just become Nirvana and all that in 1992. Well, I happened to graduate in 88. And we were, at that time, we were all kind of like missing, we missed Hendrix, we missed the Doors, we missed Zeppelin, we missed all the big bands. And the 80s was this really kind of synth pop era. You know, a lot of synthesizers, that was the kind of music that was happening. So a lot of us who played guitars and were into rock and acoustic guitars kind of felt like we missed it. And then all of a sudden, we just started our own kind of little resurgence, and it really felt like I was part of that. I got to see a lot of those bands in the clubs. I mean, I saw Pearl Jam at UMass in like the Student Union Ballroom with about 400 people. Mm-hmm. Same thing with the band Fish. You know, saw them in clubs with 100 people. You know,
my older daughter went to UMass, and she loves Fish. She's a Fish head, yeah.
Well, tell her, you met the guy. I got to meet the band. I mean, they were just another band that was playing a club at the time. And then and by the time I was like kind of getting out of UMass, 92 is when it all kind of exploded. And so it was the right place at the right time for my era. So,
mm-hmm.
I was very happy to be at UMass at that time. It all worked out just fine for me.
All right, well, I've got two kids. My son is working his PhD at UMass, and my daughter's going into her senior year next year. So I love writing the tuition checks. But anyway.
don't we all?
So let's talk a little bit. We're going to play some of the stuff you sent us. And the first one is by KBMG. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that before we cue up the song?
Yeah, well, we're so lucky here on Cape Ann that there are the venues now with the Shaylin Lou, you know, the Old Sloop Coffee House, and now in North Shore, you have Beverly has the Larkham. Which is kind of, you know, going through some changes, but the Cabot just opened a big $1 million project. I mean, there's this great music all around us, and plus all the, you know, if you go to Danvers, say, there's not a lot, happening music-wise. You know, you don't have to go too far out of Cape Ann to figure out, wow, there's not so much going on. So we are lucky, and so this one was recorded at the Old Sloop a couple of years ago live, and this is KBMG, which is David Brown, Dave Bannix, and Wolf Genandes, who I've been working for about 14, 15 years now. And it's just, that's really my band, mm-hmm. you know, what I consider, if you're in a band, that's the band. And so that's why I want to open up with them. And this is us live, which is, you can really, you know, there's no studio tricks. There's no mm-hmm. guest vocalist. This is just us. So that's why I kind of wanted to open
with. And you said KBMG?
Yeah, King Brown Maddox Janandis.
I knew that.
Yeah.
Okay.
And this is, I really like the song. I think you might have played it when I saw you at Jalapenos.
Probably.
But certainly revisited it when you sent me the MP3. So this is called Runaway Lyle. So.
All right. I'm going to take a break. It'll be a little quiet time here to make sure we get it right. Okay? So we'll be right with you, boys. Here we go.
And beating the birds away. I don't blame them, it's rough today. Run away, lion. Run away, lion. So ain't running, been gone for days. Wind is howling, it hurts your face. Run away, lion. Ashes burn, smoke gets in your eyes. Old time music plays outside. Hold it close and dance so free. She feels your love, yearns to be loyal. Rolling the clouds away. Hope is coming. She hopes that you'll stay. Run away, lion. Run away, lion. Love is hard. Pain your soul inside. When that storm comes flooding by, she needs you to stand closely. Through her love, the heart you will see, Lyle.
Okay, so you've heard Dan play before in KBMG, right?
Yes.
I haven't. Oh. So the first thing that came to mind, this is a neophyte here, right? This is a definitely a layperson. I'm getting a little bit country, a little bit of rock, folk rock maybe, but a lot of Dylan.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Big Bob Dylan fan.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, it's funny. I started out, you know, Greg knows we loved the Beatles when we were kids, and then at some point you figure out, you know, and I figured out pretty early on, thankfully, that, you know, my voice just didn't really suit some of those vocals that were done with all the pop groups. You know, say a band like CSN, like, you know, somebody like, you know, Graham, who sings so high, you know? And like, yeah, me trying to sing that just wasn't working. And then I figured out, like, that song's in B flat, right? And that's, I figured that was a great key for me when I started learning how to play like Mark Knopfler stuff. Like, say that tune, like Romeo and Juliet, which he's very influenced by Dylan.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, have you ever heard that story that Jerry Wexler tells about Mark Knopfler? So Jerry Wexler, I'll repeat the story.
Mark Knopfler is Dire Straits, right?
Dire Straits, okay. Right. So Mark Knopfler ended up working with Dylan, right? And because Jerry Wexler, who was the producer in the record, recommended him as a guitar player. And Dylan supposedly says, oh, Knopfler, he does me the best.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah, okay. That, yeah, okay. No, I haven't heard that one.
Like Tom Petty. There's a lot of them. You can tell, you can hear that Dylan influence in so many.
Well, it's funny. On the way in here, I was listening to The Watchtower with Hendrix, you know,
oh, yeah.
And it's a Dylan song, but I can't imagine Dylan. I've heard Dylan sing it, but, you know, it just doesn't work. But, yeah, I did get that. So, Greg, if I may, tell me about KBMG.
Yeah, KBMG came together. I was doing some recordings, and I had been in and out of bands, and I was doing a solo project, and I hired Dave Maddox, the drummer, to do something. He recommended Wolf, the bass player. And separately, I was working with Dave Brown and some other tracks with a different drummer. And I knew Dave through Fly Amaro and in the local kind of Cape Ann area. And so what happened was there was a band called TMB, which was Troy, Maddox, and Brown. And then I had my own band, my old solo band, and my friend Russ Lawton was playing drums, and Wolf was in that band with me. And basically what happened was Russ moved to Vermont, and John Troy, who was Troy, Maddox, and Brown, moved to California. So we kind of each lost kind of our bands, and we kind of just mushed them
okay.
both together.
All right. Sort of like a super group, right?
Yeah, I guess so.
A little cream there, yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
We took the remaining parts and
all right.
made something new that's been around for 14 years.
Now, what about the song?
Now, that song, that's one of a real Cape Ann song for me, too. That's another reason why I like to write about it. I mean, it's about the ocean. It's about the birds getting beaten away when you're feeling like a nor'easter. And actually, I was in a band, another project I had called the Bandit Kings at the time when I wrote that, and they had female vocalists, and I was kind of writing it for them, and we did a version of it on one of the records, but it's a different key, much higher and a little different, and it was just one of those songs that I wasn't sure if it would work with KBMG, but I tried it, and it immediately just fit perfect, so we've been actually doing it a lot more nice. Ever since. Yeah. And it opens up our last record, which is called It's a Beautiful World, a live record, live and studio. And we put that as the first track. Yeah. So.
All right. Well, before we get to some more recording stuff, do you want to do something? You've got your acoustic guitar here.
Sure. Yeah, I'll do, I think called Trailer Blues. This is one of those songs that started out, I must have done 10 different versions. And it was when I moved back. I'd spent some time in California a couple of years ago. And when I came back and I was at a friend's place in the woods after like living in L.A., when it's like, you know, it's pretty hard to escape people in L.A., there's a lot of going, you know, even though you can, but you have to drive pretty far. So around Cape Ann, I can find the woods a little quicker. And it kind of came out this more kind of countryish bluegrass version of the same song. So.
Baby, kick the covers off. Show me how to move. Drive that cold old cigarette. Gotta kick my. So kind to say goodbye, never kind to run. Pale blue eyes have got me blind, see me through the mud. Got the trail of the blues when you feel the pain. Pick up your head and go, fade them honeydew. Love that heavy tow. I got a thousand miles in all the things you could ever want. Just another night with my headphones on, scraping your name in my bunk. Got the trail of blues when you feel the pain. Pick up your head and go. You paid them honey dues in the morning rain. Pick up your head and go. And trail, trail away. Sleep the day, ride the night, watching the old truck sway. Gonna leave in town and breaking hearts. Gotta put it on your resume. Got a trail of blues and you feel the pain. Pick up your head and go. Pay them honey dues in the morning rain. Pick up your head and go. Trail, trail away.
All right.
Yeah,
that's fantastic. Excellent. Okay.
Thank you.
How do we get the lyrics? I mean, the lyrics online like everybody else's?
I think the lyrics should be online.
Yeah,
on the
absolutely.
Website, DanielScottKing.com, or just look up KBMG.
Oh, okay. Give it to me again. Say it again.
DanielScottKing.com.
Yep.
My full name, because I had that, you know, I've had that for a long time now.
Okay.
When the websites first came out, right?
Yeah.
And let's see. And yeah, we're on Facebook. You can look up, you know, Dan King, KBMG, and a little Google search, and pretty easy to find us.
Okay.
There.
All right, and so before we move on to some of your solo stuff, KBMG is playing tonight and billed as the Woodpeppers at Jalapenos. You want to tell us about that story?
Yeah. Well, when we first started, you know, it was just Dan King, and they were side guys I'd hire for the studio. They'd do gigs with me. And then as the years went on, it was just like, okay, well, this is a band. You know, we play all the time together. We're doing every Tuesday. And so, okay, well, that's when we named it KBMG. So at the time, though, instead of just calling it Dan King, we were just kind of joking around. And I think it was David Brown who, if you go to Jalapenos, there's these wood peppers that kind of hang in the window and right where we play. So
the wood peppers. Okay. I like that.
Yeah.
Just all right.
Fun. And so, it's stuck, and we don't bother to change it. You know why?
Wait, okay, so we go to the MP3 next?
So next up we have Show Me the Stars Tonight.
Okay.
And I typed it as Starts Tonight, but it's Stars Tonight. So what can you tell us about this tune before we play it?
Yeah, this is another kind of country-ish one. And we had Mari Martin actually sing on this one with me. We had a little special guest. And we had a bunch of kids out in the Lanesville and Anisquam sing on it too, just for some fun, and the way in the background. So just to have them have a fun day, you know. And, it's just a song about just getting out. We really appreciate the people who come out and see us play all the time. And I was just thinking about that one day. I was like, you know, it is great. Because I know there's some nights, you know, when I know I want to go see a band and it's snowing, it's raining, and it's whatever it is. And you're like, it's so much easier just to stay home.
Mm-hmm.
And so thanks for coming out.
Cool. Basically. All right.
All right. Well, so here it is. Show Me the Stars Tonight.
Stars tonight, I wanna see that old dashboard light. Let's get out, take it up, lift our heads, we're gonna shake it up and show me all them stars tonight. So many faces you and I could be. All around us, farther than the eye can see. Closer than the stars above. Let's get lost, or just because tonight the stars, they found a friend in us. Show me the stars tonight. I want to see that old dashboard. Let's get out, take it up, lift our heads, we're turns yellow, falls off the page. The time is only partly right. Take the ride, you know it's still our fight. Show me all that was lost tonight. Show me the stars tonight. I want to see that old dashboard light. Let's get out, take it up with our heads upon us, shaking them. Show me all the stars. Show me the stars tonight. I wanna see that old dashboard light. Let's get out, take it up, lift our heads, shake it up, and show me all the stars. Oh, just show me all the stars. Show me all the stars.
All right, that was Show Me the Stars Tonight by Dan King and some friends in the... Well, they were credited as the... I forget what the choir was called.
Yeah, it was like the... let's see, the Denison Street Choir,
the
we called it.
Yes.
Because we recorded it up there. I got a friend who was got a barn up there.
Yeah.
And so we did it up there. We recorded a lot of stuff. Sometimes if I want a different sound, a non-studio sound, you know, as you know what I mean, like the everything where everything's quiet, it's got a little bit more ambience.
Right, right.
I'll go up to this barn and record up there.
Very wow. Lucky, yeah. Sort of like U2 when they recorded The Unforgettable Fire at the old castle.
Exactly.
Writing music, Dan. I'm sure you have a lot of songs inside still. I'm sure you have songs that you are just more than pleased with and won't touch, but is it an ongoing process? Is there ever a song, and maybe Greg, if you write music too, is there ever, I'll ask you both this, is there ever a point where you get to when you've played a song that's it, it's finished, it's perfect? Or, like I know with a lot of guys who do movies and films, and in fact I talked to Rex Fowler of Aztec Two-Step,
yeah,
a couple of weeks ago, and I asked him that question. He's got songs that he's written, he and his partner, and they've performed for 30 or 40 years, and it's never quite finished. There's always a different interpretation, a different night, different feeling. Do you find that?
Yeah, it changes. I think if you play live a lot, that'll happen. I mean, if it's kind of like, if you, like, say, wrote the song, you did the studio version, and say you tour or play live, you know, every 5 years or so, well, to get the guys together, to get everything rehearsed, and then to go out and do that tour, you're probably gonna, you might have the tendency to stick right to the exact version, you mm-hmm. know, almost mm-hmm. like classical music.
Mm-hmm.
Our band, I mean, we play all the time, and we don't want to get bored. And so we're like a folk rock band with a jazz attitude.
Okay.
You know?
Cool.
And that's kind of how it is. So, yeah.
Feeling it, whatever you're feeling.
Whatever we feel tonight. If the crowd is a certain way, yeah, or if we're feeling a certain way, a song that's a two-step could turn into a blues, can turn into a polka, who knows, you know? not usually a polka, that's a joke, but you know what I mean. Yeah, you know, and so it'll change, you know, and we'll maybe change a chord here and there, or cut the bridge a little short, cut a beat here and there, and just see what happens, just to kind of keep us on our toes.
How do you feel playing live, Greg? Because you play a lot of cover stuff, so do you change it up?
Well, it depends. Sometimes, like the cover band, I mean, some of the songs we do, like we do a Johnny Cash song, Folsom Prison, and it doesn't sound anything like his. So from the start, it's like, mm-hmm. this is going to be our version, and other songs are like, we're going to try to stay true to this.
Yeah.
You know, and then other times it just depends on how people play it. You know, when you start practicing it, then it just sort of accidentally becomes your own version.
I find that happens all the time with us, where we started out covering songs, and yeah, they just turned into, you know, my voice, whatever fit my voice better. I'm not trying to copy exactly what the record does, because I can't do that. I'm not going to be that person. But there are some tunes, like if we do, say, Something by the Beatles, that's one of those tunes where I try to do that solo note for note, as close as I can get.
Sure, sure.
Because it's such a, what I call, signature. It's signature. Yeah. So it's like, well, yeah, I'm not going to kind of noodle around. It's just, you know, the boom, ba, boom.
Right, right.
You know what I mean? You got to do it.
An interview with Little Richard once, and he did exactly just what you know what I mean, and he played something. It was so cool. Reminded me so much of Little Richard there. I saw the Moody Blues when they reunited back in 1981. They were at the Boston Garden, their very first tour date, And this is a band that had selling albums and so on, but it was their first date-back regrouping. And the very first song that they played was a hit song that they had at the time, but they were playing it live, and they screwed it up royally. They couldn't get together. The beat was off. The drummer was...
called a train wreck.
Yeah, it was exactly. And now this is in front of 13,000 people at the Boston Garden.
Yeah.
So Justin Hayward, the lead singer, he swore, and he stopped. He stopped it right there at the very first song and said, let's get it right. Let's do it again. Yeah. And I was so impressed by that. Do you get to a point professionally where you say, okay, we screwed this up, or you might screw something up, but who notices it except you guys? I mean, right. How does that feel on stage professionally or wherever you are playing
I'm
live?
I'm lucky to be surrounded by Maddox and Brown and Wolf. I mean, these guys are so pros that any mistake, that we're so good at covering them up.
Okay, yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
What I would try to do is, if I miss a word, I'll try to, do something to turn it into But, yeah, if it's the total train wreck, we would start again.
Have you ever done that? Have you ever done that in front of an audience?
Oh, yeah, we've done that. Take two.
Take two.
Take two.
And people,
sorry, take two.
People get that, don't they?
Oh, they understand. Yeah.
And a lot of times you're not playing for professional musicians, sitting there taking notes. So I've screwed up with Moonraker, my other band, and I'll say, geez, sorry about that. Nobody noticed.
Right.
It's not a big deal. But the other day we were playing, and... Dylan started in the wrong key, and I'm playing, and it's like, well, something's wrong here, so we stopped and started it over, because if you start the train wreck off wrong, there's no going back. So.
As an audience member, when you do that, it seems to me that you're not playing me as a dummy.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You're apologizing. Excuse me, let's just get to this. I love it, so that's great. Yeah. Awesome, that's the old experience factor.
That's it.
Excellent. Get some more music on here.
All right. You want to do something live, and then we'll go to a recording? Sure, call.
Yeah, let's do a recording, actually, because I'm really excited about this new thing I'm doing. And I definitely want to be able to listen to some of it. I mean, so we've heard kind of like the folk. I've done like a folk song. We've listened to like a country song. And that's a major part of, I think, who I've been for a while. I mean, but I wasn't always that. I was definitely started out as a rock guy. Like I said, Jimi Hendrix was a big influence on me as a young man. And this new stuff has kind of brought me back to that Hendrix, that jazz, Miles Davis, all that kind of stuff. And I worked with some different folks. I did a lot of it on my own. And like I said, it's the freshest thing. So basically what happens is, and I hear this about a lot of artists, this is about art anyway, is after mixing and kind of putting out this folk record that we put out last fall and last winter, which we've just been playing, I've listened to those tracks a lot, countless times.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them had 57, 75 different mixes. You know what I mean?
Wow.
Yeah, so you're adding instruments, subtracting instruments, trying this out, adding this, adding that, mixing that this way, trying it with a different tempo, different speed, And so after that, I was like, okay, I need to do something different. Some artists say, like Joni Mitchell, you would say she would do a painting period. She'd do a record, and then she'd just paint for 6 months and not do any music to kind of wipe the slate clean. And so this is kind of me wiping the slate clean and trying something that's definitely
palate cleanser.
Yeah, exactly, palate cleanser. So this thing called Miles Arrival, I got to work with this guy, Russ Lawton, who's the Trey Anastasio drummer. He used to live in Salem. He was the guy who was in the band I talked about originally, and he moved to Vermont. So he comes to town a couple times a year, and we got together and started doing some recording again. And this is it.
And so this is available for download. So you want to talk about that real quick?
Sure, yeah. It's available for download. It's on Spotify, iTunes, CD Baby, Amazon. And that's the exciting thing. I mean, you don't make a ton of money nowadays. People always talk about the Spotify thing. You only get so much per play for streaming. But it is cool when you see people in Australia and China and all over the world who are listening to your track.
Right on.
That is one of the positives of the modern world,
All right. So this one's Miles Arrival.
Now, how'd you put that together?
Yeah, Russ and I got together last summer, and we've been doing this. I've been doing this thing at the Monday night. Well, not really anymore, but I started it in 1995, which is the open jam every Monday. Greg knows about it. And it's kind of become this institution in Gloucester where, like, new acts and new people and come to town. You're looking for a place to meet some musicians. Go to the Monday night jam.
And where is this?
At the Rum Line.
At the Rum Line. Okay, cool.
The Rum Line, which has been there since 78. Music 7 nights. It's the one place in town that has music 7 nights a week, year round.
Well, I used to do their ski trips on Tuesday. That's what I'm familiar with the Rum Line. But I will go in there now and check out the music.
Yeah. So they do it. And I kind of retired from it a few years back. And I kind of come in and pop in and do it once in a while. But it got a little late for me as I got older and had a family and kids and all that kind of stuff. But, it's just a great trip. So Russ would come back and he kind of helped me celebrate, like, the anniversary. So he did, like, the 70th anniversary. And we're planning it now, so... I think last year was like the 21st anniversary of the jam or something like that.
Really?
So started it. Yeah, 21 years of anything that lasts that long, you know, is great. So anyway, so we got in the studio, and I was looking to do something, again, different, you know, whereas like when I work with KBMG, it's very, things are written out, and things are mapped out, and we record a certain way. Sometimes using a click, sometimes, you know, having everything kind of a certain way. And with Russ, we just went in, and I just had like an idea of just a riff and a feeling. And like I said, more of a jazz kind of thing. And we just went on and just did that. Yeah. And just would record. And then I took the basics of that, the drums and whatever my original riff was, which didn't even make the final cut.
Really, yeah.
Yeah, the original idea is not even on that recording. But the drums made it because, you know. But that's the, I got to really give Russ the praise here, because when you have such a blank slate, like a blank canvas, but not, you have this like kind of like perfect, just beautiful, it's like having a beautiful canvas to work on, like the best quality canvas to kind of paint over, and that's what it was. So I spent the winter doing that, and Russ is and the first thing, I had to make sure Russ liked it. You know, he was thrilled with it, I was thrilled with it, so we're happy.
Is there a similarity, guys, is there an analogy with sports? If you play with someone really good or great, he brings you along. And if you're good, you can bring other guys along. Is there an analogy like that in music?
Yeah. It's the same thing. It really is. I mean, I've been blessed, very lucky to play with the quality of musicians I play with every Tuesday night, playing with Dave Mannix and Brown and Wolf at Jalapenos. It's like me going to like a doctorate class once a week, getting schooled by guys who played with McCartney and Billy Joel and, you know, all the biggest, you know, Elton John, you name it, they pretty much played with them. And got those experiences, learned the studio stuff, learned how to play, you know, so, yeah, being able to, basically when I first started, I was really nervous when I first started doing it, you know, obviously, I was like, I was getting all clammed up, and, but kind of persevered through it, and they've made me, obviously, a much better player than I would have ever been, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, it shows on the recordings, that's for sure, so... during the break, when we're playing the tune, you're talking about your music production sideline. So why don't you give us a little bit about that?
Yeah, well, because the prices of the studios went up, and because the revenues went down, you know, probably since the Napster era, we all know about that. We had to rethink it. You had to rethink the model. And so that's when I got some advice to, invest in a nice computer, get the Pro Tools, and start trying to do as much as you can at home. You know, so you can alleviate some of the costs, because if the revenue is not coming in, it doesn't justify, spending, $20,000 on a record or something like that, or however much you want to spend on something that's probably not going to return what it used to, you know. Even if you sell a lot of CDs, still it's a lot. So I guess that's how that all started. So I started producing my own records, and then I produced the Band of Kings records. I produced an act called Luke Temple. And that stuff got out there. So what happened was people would hear the records that I self-produced. And I produced a lot of the KBMG stuff, too. They helped me. But I would do the final mixes and things like that. So through that work, I'm working with an act called The Musicians. And the lead guy is this guy, Chris Keating. And we'll be at Q Division in Cambridge this week. And that'll be great. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Q Division is right. It's probably one of the top studios left in Boston. Great space. And so I'm looking forward to that. It's a much different gig, you know. I'm kind of going in, but I'm helping guys do things that I take for granted, you know. I've done so many records now, and I've done so many studio sessions that, you just expect things. Oh, yeah, everybody knows this.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, all right,
everybody
sure.
Knows, oh, yeah, you know you got to, oh, there's going to be the tech, this is the tech part, and okay, they're going to do the kick now, you know. And you forget that, not everybody knows that stuff.
Do you guys, when you record now, I used to teach a course to teachers called Teachers Rock, and we showed how back in the day, when rock and roll was young, how the band would lay down tracks, sometimes separately, and then you'd overlay the tracks, and then the singers would go into a different booth, play the tracks through the headphones, and then it would all be mixed together. Is it all pretty much live now?
We try to do both. We try to do as much live as possible. That's the way I produce. Try to do as much live possible as we can to kind of get the feeling, like we talked about with my last project, trying to get that. But some people will record, everything's, piece by piece, or piecemeal, they call it, where, you lay down the drum track and then somebody lays over, everything's overdubbed separately, and for a while, because of the technology, people could do it over the phones and do it through Skype, and they'd be bands, you'd be jamming with somebody who's in, L.A., some of the other guys in India.
That's amazing, yeah.
Yeah, they're doing that kind of thing, but something, to me, gets lost
a
little bit when it gets too just overdubbed and almost too perfect, I think.
Right. When you're doing it solo, it's you sort of have to do it over in multiple, because most of my stuff, I do the drums, keyboards,
right.
So can't do it live.
Right.
Right.
But
and with the technology, it's pretty cool now. You can be very creative.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're trying to get an idea out, I mean, a lot of stuff I do, I just record one take just to get the idea out,
right.
Instead of, you know, hoping you can get 10 people in a room to do it. But I was going to say, you mentioned Pro Tools as a tip to all the youngsters out there. Reaper is a nice, it's not freeware, it's Honor Systemware. If you like it, you pay $65, and it's I think it's very compatible with Pro Tools, and it's a great one to get started with before you spend $600-$800 on Pro Tools.
Right. Oh, yeah, GarageBand's the same way. Yeah, there's tons of them. If you just want to get started, it's like buying your old 4-track when you were a kid, you know.
Yeah.
You didn't necessarily buy the huge 24-track Sony board right off the bat. You know, you started out with like a little cassette 4-track just to see, you know, how things
work. All right,
but
there's something, and we got at least two more tunes to go here on the MP3. There's something that bothers me, though, about today's music, guys, in that I listen to a lot of the songs that the kids are playing, because my daughter is a senior in high school, graduating in 2017, and they can't sing live.
Right.
They're unable to sing live. They dance well,
right.
You know, and everybody's got a dance act. And being a throwback to when rock and roll was young and still loving rock and roll and metal and kick ass and all that stuff, it bothers me. So do you get, as musicians, do you get the satisfaction, I don't know, is there more satisfaction of being live to an audience than there is to making a recording? Because in a recording, you do mess with it. You can perfect it. You can add and subtract. You said it earlier. But when you're live, baby, that's it. It's out there.
That's the feedback. Right
there. It's two different animals. It really is. The studio, I'll use another painting kind of reference. You know, that's when you're painting the picture. You're painting the little masterpiece, the piece of art. And the live, that's a whole other game. You know?
Uh-huh.
And you have to be able to sing and you have to be able to perform, you know. Mm-hmm. And you can be successful. Yeah, the people who are just studio acts, yeah, people are going to, it's like the emperor with no clothes on. You know, it's that kind of thing. They're going to get out there and, oh, yeah, here I am. I'm a big star because this was done in the studio. And they get out there and nobody's going to come to that show. They're not going to pay money to see that.
Right.
You know? Maybe if they're teeny boppers or 12 or 13, but it's kind of hard to have a career that way.
Yeah, and I think from the first days of rock, there have been, you know, because the first days of rock, it was, you know, the black R&B, you know, people who became the rock stars, you know, Fats Domino, Chuck Berry, and you mentioned Little Richard. Then the prefab stuff started.
Right.
You know, that you know, just basically, remember the Brady Bunch? You fit the suit.
Johnny Bravo. There's always been bubblegum. There's always been
bubblegum music.
Idols,
sure.
Yeah. Right. I think there's always been that.
But they don't last. I think the Monkees are probably the only the exception.
Right.
Who've lasted 50 years. But there have been these people who've been manufactured to put out hits to make millions for the record companies and their producers. And then, you know, now it's like, you know what their latest hits is? You want fries with that? I mean, that's what they do to nowadays. Because they were just created, and they didn't have the longevity because they, I'm not saying there's no talent.
Right.
But, you know, when they're using the auto-tune and everything
is... Oh, I can't
stand
that, yeah.
You know, 50,000 tracks, that's perfect.
Yeah.
You know, there's no feel. You can just tell listening to this stuff. There's no feel.
Yeah.
But there's a real feedback loop, though, in a club, isn't there? Because when you're feeling it, they're feeling it, it goes back and forth, doesn't it?
Oh, definitely.
It's sort of like bouncing back and forth off each other?
Yeah.
And it's just, what does they say about a rising tide?
You know when you're doing good.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. You don't ever do bad, do you? That doesn't happen. It can't happen with music.
Oh, no, you can have off nights. You know,
really?
It's just not, maybe you and the audience just aren't jiving, or maybe it's just the wrong audience for you.
Mm-hmm.
And, you become like background. But when you're hitting it good and they're moving to the music with you and you're having a great night, yeah, there's nothing like it. That's why we do it.
All right, let's get back to music. What's next?
All right, up next we have... I keep getting the pronunciation.
Baudelaire.
It
was an 18th century, I mean, 19th century, 1800s poet, and he was kind of probably like an early kind of Howard Stern kind of character, kind of controversial or something, you know what I mean? And he wrote some things that people didn't like, you know? And so, I don't know, I was thinking about him. I was reading his poetry, and I kind of wrote this song. And again, it started out as like an acoustic song, but because of, you know, the time... that I'd already done doing this other acoustic record, I did a very different production. So
all right,
there it is.
Let's give a listen. Here we go. I might tell you the sun is insane.
I tell you your wishes are rain. What I say is not clear or sympathetic insight. Just tell me one thing, but what have I done thing? Just tell me now. Midnight, so empty and discreet, silently haunting the steps where we meet. You treat it gone still, littered with defeat. Let's move along.
That was Baudelaire, and you were just telling us while it was playing more of a dark sound.
Oh, definitely. I was going for something, like, again, like getting away from the acoustics, and I got to give a shout-out to the wife, too, you know, because she's great, and it's amazing when you have, like, a really solid kind of relationship. And actually, it's very freeing to kind of explore things, I think, that I probably wouldn't have explored otherwise. You know, places I probably wouldn't have went if I was, say, single or kind of insecure about something. You know, I really, that's the one thing about art that I found, that, like, it's kind of the more solid I am, the more exploration I can kind of do. I feel like getting out of my usual kind of wheelhouse, you know, which is the acoustic thing, which I've always been doing for a long time. It's kind of easy to kind of stick with that, you know. So that was, I got to give her some credit, because with her support, I was kind of like, are you sure? What do you think of this stuff? And she thought it was great, and she was really interested in it. So her support really meant a lot.
Well, I'm glad you gave you the push, because I like what I'm hearing. So why don't we'll play Bathe in Dreamlight, which is the title track of the CD and the download, which is available at danscottking.com.
Danielscottking.com,
as well as Spotify, Amazon, and all.
Well, we're definitely going to link to the website to that.
Right.
So we'll you want to introduce this one, or?
Yeah, so Bathe in Dreamlight. Anything you want to mention about the title or anything about the song?
Yeah, it's just, you know, it's one of those things where the title came just right. You know, sometimes when I write, I'll just start strumming. I'll just hang in the kitchen or wherever I'm at, and I'll get the guitar, and I'll just kind of start mumbling stuff, you know, just trying to get melodies and things like that. And I just, you know, and I have a, with the iPhone nowadays, I get the little, the memo thing.
Oh, right.
So,
you know,
so I just record with little memos now. I mean, the technology, yeah. It's crazy. So I have this, and then I'll go through them, and I'll try to figure out what I was saying. And I'm like, what am I saying? Bathed in dreamlight? Well, that's kind of cool. You know?
Okay.
And that's where it, you know, took off from there.
All right, here we go.
All right.
Bathing dreams now.
Wow, that was a quick hour, guys. Rick Moore with Greg Verga and our special musical guest, Dan King, a former student of mine. And Dan, it's been a long time, but thanks for this enlightening session, man. I feel energized, rejuvenated, and I've learned a hell of a lot, and I'm in the presence of a great talent. I appreciate you're doing this.
Oh, thank you. You know, it's unbelievable when you have no idea what you're walking into, and you just have a really good time, isn't it? You know,
yeah.
We had a blast.
Yeah.
A good time. I didn't know where I was going today. You know, what's this going to look like? I have no idea.
Well, this is our first stab at it, and yeah. We couldn't have had a more amicable guest. We appreciate it. And, geez, we got to do this again. So I know you're invited back automatically, and I know that we'll do this. Okay, so upcoming gigs for you. Greg mentioned one.
I want to give one little shout-out, actually. I got a little piece of good news. There's a local guy, Nelson Bragg, who's from Rockport, and he's been touring around with the Brian Wilson Band. For many years.
Brian Wilson.
The Brian Wilson of the Beach Boys. They're doing the 50th anniversary of Pet Sounds.
Can you imagine?
On the tour. They're doing it with the Boston Pops at Symphony Hall this coming weekend,
mm-hmm.
June 17th and 18th.
Wow.
And I got the lucky call to be on the list. So I got to say thank you, Nelson.
Well, Nelson Bragg, I wonder now, was his dad Nelson Bragg of WBZ and WESX
yes.
fame?
Exactly.
My very first week, this is a horrible memory, my very first week at WESX, I had to fill in for Nelson, who was sick, and he didn't make it. That was
right.
When he passed away many years ago. So, wow, talk about coming full circle.
Yep, that's
fantastic.
It.
Well, do have fun, and I'm envious. But thanks, Dan.
Thank you.
All right. Well, yeah, thanks, Dan. I appreciate you coming in, being the first guest here, helping us get off to a good start. And thanks, Rick, for helping out with the tech support over there. What's coming up next for us is we have John Jerome here on June 28th at 3 o'clock, so stay tuned. John is no stranger to the local music scene. And upcoming guests will include Frankie Gentile of the Bathroom Sessions, the infamous Bathroom Sessions on Facebook.
Frankie Gentile, okay.
Yes.
Well, excuse me.
And Tony Goddess of Puppet's Priest fame and Bang a Song, as I mentioned earlier. So stay tuned for that schedule, and thanks for listening, and check back with us. Keep up on the Facebook page, and with me at Greg Verga on Twitter, and
at MSONewsSports.com.
At MSONewsSports.com. This will be streaming when?
Oh, it's streaming now.
Well, it's live. When will be the big
it will? It will continue. This will be posted. You'll be able to grab it, and we'll throw it up on the website for at least 24 hours live streaming, but it'll be available just by clicking on it right there. Just click on it, baby.
Great.
It's right there. Thanks, guys.
And the tune we're going out with and came in with is called Lay There by Paul Brancaleone. It's Paul and I doing the song.